And I'm delighted to welcome to the program Rekha Basu. Rekha, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ed. Thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
And I don't even know if I can go through your resume quickly, but you are a longtime columnist for the Des Moines Register.
That's right.
And now an independent journalist.
Exactly.
Freedom.
I'm writing for Substack. I have a column called Rekha Shouts and Whispers on Substack that appears once a week. So, and I still contribute to the Register regularly. Yeah. I wrote one piece in yesterday's paper about puppy mills and how badly we treat our animals in this state.
Puppy mills have been a big issue here.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we're not talking about puppy mills today.
No, not today.
We've got a lot of ground to cover. And I want to start with a column you wrote, a Substack piece, about the disparity between the Republican Party's previous claim to being the party of individual rights, of local control,
mm-hmm.
and the stuff that's now coming out of, you know, state legislatures across the country. But we're going to take a look at what's happening here in Iowa.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, just to quote one thing you said from that story, local control, whether exercised by states against federal dictates or by municipalities over state mandates, used to be a Republican value. Communities have their own identities, and local elections allow people to elect leaders who represent theirs. Yet our governor is trying to impose hers on everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about some examples.
Well, some examples. For example, for a long time, they have had a law, a policy the state has, that counties cannot impose their own minimum wages. And statewide, Iowa has the most pathetic $7.25 an hour minimum wage, which nobody can live on. It's astounding. But, I mean, it's not good enough that the state does that, but they also, for example, more recently, sanctuary cities, they don't allow a city like Johnston to have, or a county like Johnson County to have sanctuary.
Well, let's back up for a minute. The state legislative ban on cities enacting stronger minimum wage laws than the state level of $7.25 an hour,
mm-hmm.
that came in response to a handful of counties,
mm-hmm.
And some of them were rural counties,
mm-hmm.
Establishing a $15 minimum wage requirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here they are, what we believe in local control. Let the local people decide. Well, the local people decided something that the Republican Party's corporate sponsors didn't like, and boom, they came in right away and put the kibosh on it.
It's so ironic, Ed. The whole notion of big government, which was what fueled this local control movement, was all about, you know, governments shouldn't dictate to you what you do. Instead, actually, we've become a complete autocracy in the United States anyway, where it's not even federal law that Trump is following. He's just going out and doing his own thing without anybody's approval, right?
Yeah.
So we've almost come full cycle.
And let's talk about that too. But I want to. You started mentioning sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
Tell us more about what's been happening on that level here at Iowa. Because again, it's happening elsewhere in the country.
Yes, there is some conflict in Iowa about that. There have been sanctuary cities in the past, and now they're saying no to that. And that means, of course, to protect undocumented immigrants from ICE. The state has tried to make some deals with the federal government, with ICE, where local prisons, local jails will collaborate with ICE to hold the undocumented people, or documented people, we never really know if these are legitimate roundups of undocumented immigrants, right, in their facilities. And actually, there's one county in Iowa, which one is it, that is refusing to even allow any information about how many people they have or how they, I was just reading about it this morning.
And I'm blanking on which county it is as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. But that's the deal, that we don't know who's collaborating with ICE and who isn't. But certainly in a county like Johnson County, they are saying, get out of here, ICE. You don't belong here.
But historically, the thinking is that county governments, city governments, have enough responsibilities just to manage law enforcement issues at the local level.
Exactly.
They have limited budgets, and sometimes, that's another issue, the state government puts limitations on how much they can actually collect in terms of revenue.
Right.
And so on top of that, you've got the federal government coming and saying, hey, we want you to do this for us.
Right.
We want you to do some of our work as well.
Exactly. And here's another thing. As far as this local control issue goes, The state has been opposed to citizen review boards to review the conduct of police officers and their jobs. And now they've made that, again, one of these local, anti-local control rules where you can't have them as a county or as a city either. So if there's a Des Moines police officer who's making an untoward arrest during, for example, the Black Lives Matter rallies, they're above the law in the sense that no local control board, civilian review board, is able to review what they did and decide if it was appropriate or not.
And there was a big discussion in Des Moines about that years ago.
Yes, there was.
And locally there was, I mean, I can't remember, it goes way back actually, and I can't remember, it goes back so far, I can't remember how we settled it. Whether we established a citizen review board or not. I don't think we did.
It was so actually, I came here in the early 90s to work for the Register, right? And it was an issue back then. And it never got resolved. It kept coming up and people would boycott and march and rally and be dragged out of city council meetings and things like that. But they just never went for it. So.
But the bottom line is, you know, that was our community's responsibility. That was the residents of Des Moines. If they didn't like what the city council was doing on that issue, whether they wanted a city police citizen review board or not, they could vote their council members out. They could vote people in.
Exactly.
But there's another example of lost control. Control Absolutely. Going to a higher level, a so-called higher level of authority that is basically just ruling by, well, we don't like this, so even though we say we're for local control, we're going to just take this initiative to squash it.
Absolutely. And then there's another thing. Sometimes city councils really do not live up to the expectations of them, which is to be balanced in these issues. So recently a case came before the Des Moines City Council where somebody was appointed to a local board commission. And there is supposed to, even though the governor, Governor Reynolds, took away representation or gender requirements from statewide boards and commissions, Des Moines had maintained its, right? But still Joe Gatto, actually one of the council members, brought in someone who was a man and there was not gender balance and the council voted on it and only two people, and they both happened to be men, voted against requiring representation by gender. So, you know, what is that? Where does that go? But, you know, on the other hand, I would say that Iowa has the, Republicans have the trifecta of power in Iowa, right? Just like at the federal level, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they are picking at those counties and cities which they perceive as being democratic-led blue ones, right? Mm. To go after them for things like DEI, anti-DEI legislation. Mm. You know, they're barred from doing that. It's not good enough that you can't have it at the college level, you can't have it in professions, but now counties can't use DEI either.
But you know, back to the issue of the raising the minimum wage, some of the counties that voted on their own to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour are, you know, counties that have a strong history of labor representation, manufacturing base, but they're counties that tend to vote Republican, pretty strongly. So, you know, the Republican legislature and the governor aren't just hurting, quote, their base.
Right.
Hurting, quote, their opposition, meaning so-called blue counties.
Right.
They're hurting their own representatives in counties that have tended to vote Republican.
And their standard argument is nobody actually earns only the minimum wage. These are high school students who, you know, get a job after school or during their summer breaks, but nobody's trying to make a living and feed their family on it. And that's actually rubbish. People are.
Yeah, I mean, if they believe that, then they should propose a bill to do away with the minimum wage completely. I probably shouldn't say that. It might happen, right?
Please don't say that. Strike that.
All right. Sometimes they'll do something that I actually personally like, even though I disagree with it philosophically. For example, banning fireworks. Mm. You're not allowed to have fireworks before July 4th, and you're not allowed to have them on New Year's Eve, I believe, as well.
Right, New Year's Eve, except that you can't. I mean, you as a county, you can't ban that, right? You cannot ban that as a county. You have to have them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It prevents them from banning it, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
No, this is like arms. And, you know, now there's this new piece of legislation that made it through, and we'll talk about Funnel Week legislation coming up, but that any adult who's picking up a child at school in Iowa can have a loaded weapon in their car. What on earth? Yeah. Why is that necessary? Who's pushing for these kinds of bills?
Well, the same people who are pushing for people on the political left not to have guns at protests.
Mm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Good point.
So a good segue to what's going on at the state level right now in terms of we have something in Iowa. I think other states have something similar called Funnel Week.
Right.
Bills have to make it through a committee by a certain date or they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the bills that didn't make it through, it's like, well, thank God for that.
Thank God.
But some of them are still pretty crazy.
I know.
I mean,
well, one that didn't make it was doing away with abortion altogether. Any kind of
criminalizing
abortion.
Criminalizing it.
Right. I mean, doctors could go to jail for life. To prison for life or 20 years
yeah.
or something
and
along those
lines. Weren't there also potentially criminal penalties for the mother?
No, I don't think. I didn't read about
criminal penalties. I've heard that discussed before.
That has been discussed previously when they were doing the 6-week abortion ban, which is in place. But I don't think that that was part of this bill. But thank goodness that did not advance.
Yeah. So speaking of schools, you know, again, it's been up to local school districts to decide, you know, what their immunization policy is. Mm. And now the state is going to preempt that and basically say you cannot require these immunizations.
Exactly.
Even though we have this measles outbreak.
Yep.
Even though there's concern about the return of polio.
It's terrifying. I find it absolutely terrifying that they would go that far.
And I don't know if we disagree or agree on this, but I'm not strictly pro all vaccinations. I never get a flu shot. I think that should be optional.
And what about COVID?
I did. I don't think I really needed to. And we can have a long conversation about that.
Okay.
But I don't think it makes any sense for the state to come in and say, hey, you got to do it this way. If we believe that counties and cities and, you know, township trustees and school boards have some autonomy, then we need to let them make their own rules.
Exactly. And this comes on the heels of, during COVID, the governor having insisted that kids go to school in person much earlier than some school district superintendents were ready for or anyone was ready for. And yet they're not allowed to mandate vaccines. So, I mean, that just sets children up for a great deal of sickness. And I think it's just so counterintuitive. What's the point?
It's counter-scientific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Counter-scientific, counter-intuitive. Some of it thanks to RFK Jr. Some of it,
and, you know, some of what RFK Jr. talks about, I like.
Yeah, like what?
Getting dyes out of food.
That he what?
Getting commercial dyes out of food.
Oh, yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Eating, I'm not sure I like his definition of eating healthy. According to a recent quote, he said he eats meat and ferments. I don't know what that means even.
Ferment. Does
ferments.
He eat, say, raccoons
pickles?
Or?
Pickles. Oh, I guess. I don't know. Pickles, yogurt.
There seems
to
be this big pickle craze going on in the country.
But I mean, I think overall the focus on healthy, natural food is good, but some of this stuff is just off the wall.
Absolutely.
Speaking of off the wall,
yes.
Why beat up on libraries?
Oh,
I mean, the whole.
There's
a bill in Iowa right now, and there may be similar bills elsewhere.
It passed the funnel, or so far anyway, the first funnel.
You can't have a bookmobile show up from the library to a school.
No, because there might be sex in it, and that would expose children to sex. And, you know, it used to be that children could not be exposed to library books just in public schools from kindergarten through sixth grade. Now they're extending that all the way through high school, all the way through 12th grade. And public libraries would not be able to have that fare in case, and kids could not get a card that would be used in a public library if they're of school going age.
Yeah, so how did
we manage that as children, right? I mean, my parents had some novels.
Well, look at how messed up we are.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm kidding.
Grandmother of two.
Well, no, I wouldn't even say how many I'm the grandfather of. Anyway.
Oh, my,
yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, this, I remember Jan Michelson, a right-wing talk show host here in Iowa. He used to rage against libraries as, quote, welfare bookstores. At the same time, he would rage against the nanny state. How is this not the nanny state?
It's totally the nanny state.
Yeah?
Spying on everything you do.
And taking away any authority that any local jurisdiction, duly elected local jurisdiction, has.
Exactly.
Another one we might want to mention, there's so much we could talk about, but the requirement that abortion medications like mifepristone be administered in person.
Can't be ordered by mail.
Who does that hurt?
I mean,
rural Iowa.
Yeah.
It hurts rural Iowa.
Exactly. And if we're speaking about hurting rural Iowa, there's a whole other one about that just passed the funnel also about doctors and engineers practicing in rural parts of the state have to be citizens. You have to be a citizen of the United States. And there's a great shortage of healthcare workers around the state. It's just the state shooting itself in the foot.
I wasn't even aware of that, Bill. Yeah. Has that made it through the funnel?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. It did. Okay.
And there was some really good testimony from legislator Megan Srinivas, who is a doctor herself.
And she's from India originally? Her family is from India.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And her parents are engineers, and she's a doctor, and they also do the same thing to engineers. You have to be a citizen.
Mm.
It's just all rhetoric.
Maybe eventually, be if you're first or second generation, you know, maybe you and I would be disqualified. You by virtue of your Indian heritage, me by virtue of my Irish heritage.
Right, disqualified from being a doctor.
Journalist.
Luckily, I never aspired to be a doctor or an engineer because I couldn't have.
Hey, we got to take a short break. Reka's going to be with me for the rest of the program here, or most of it at any rate.